Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. It's been a while since we've been here. We've had so many special services on Sunday evenings, and in fact, I went back and checked. It was in March that we were at last in the book of Revelation. So if you would like to catch up, there are 14 sermons on tape that you can get that'll catch you up through chapter 9. But let me just take just a moment and review and then get you into chapter 10. Do not forget, please, that the outline for this entire book comes from the simple outline given in Revelation chapter 1, where the apostle John is told to write the things which he sees, the things which are, and the things which are to come. The things which he sees is the vision in chapter 1. The things which are the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. The things which are to come are those things recorded from Revelation chapter 4 all the way through the end of the book. And that's what we have been studying. Let me just very quickly review that with you. There were, first of all, seven seals that we were, what was to come was declared with seven seals. These are comparable to our study on the second coming when Jesus said, there are things that people will tell you are the sign of the second coming. He said they're not. They're birth pangs. That's what they are. The sign of the second coming, he says, is the gospel preached to all the world. The sign of the second coming is the gospel going to all the nations. But what you will see are birth pangs from the ascension of Jesus until he comes that will increasingly occur. And those birth pangs are described by Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25. And recounted to some degree with some different emphasis in what's called the seven seals. The first of the seven seals, the first four were revealed by four horsemen, four horses, and the color of those horses. Let me give them to you. Number one was the white horse that represented the conquest of the gospel in the name of Christ going throughout the world. The second is the red horse, and that's the militancy of the world and the violent convulsions of the world that will be seen in wars and wars and wars that will increase and increase and increase. The result of that's the black horse, and that's the scarcity and famine that will come because of what warfare brings throughout the world. And such scarcity and famines will increase in various places. And then finally was the pale horse, and that was the horse of death, as so many will die because of the impact of sin and broken lives, broken countries, broken dreams, and the brokenness that sin brings. There was a short pause, and then we picked up the fifth seal, and the fifth seal was the prayers of the martyrs, those who have been taken to glory because they died for the testimony of Jesus Christ, crying out, how long, O Lord, until you avenge your people and bring all things to a consummation? And then came the sixth seal, and that was what Jesus had taught about great storms and convulsions upon all of the earth as the time of the second coming would come. These convulsions would reach up into the heavens with earthquakes and storms and the very coloration of the universe itself. Now we come to a seventh seal, but the seventh seal is actually revealed by seven trumpets. We covered those six of those trumpets already. So let me review those for you very quickly. First was the first trumpet, which talks about the storm judgments of the Lord upon the land and the vegetation. That from the ascension of Jesus until he comes again, we will see increasing impact of the judgments. And you can see that this is recapitulating the seven seals. And can I give you the perspective of this? The seven seals is the description of the birth pangs that Jesus talks about from the perspective of what is happening to the church until Jesus comes again. The seven trumpets, which is the seventh seal, the seven trumpets explain the seventh seal, is recapitulating the six seals, the seven trumpets, go back and get the six seals and re-describe it, but this time the perspective is not from what happens to the church and with the church until Jesus comes again, but what happens to the unbelieving world until Jesus comes again. And thus the first seal is the storm judgments upon the land that will increase until Christ comes. Second are storms of judgments that will be throughout the seas, as one third of the seas would be polluted by the judgments of God. Thirdly, the third trumpet is the storm judgments that will result with various pollutions in the land because of the sinfulness of the people and the unbelief. There would be pollutions that would ruin whole areas of the land and the sea throughout the ages until Jesus comes. The fourth trumpet is the storm judgments that would fall from the heavens, cataclysmic judgments that would come from the heavens upon the earth, sea and land, and all that dwell within it. And then these four trumpets are then followed by a fifth trumpet, which is the opening up of the occult and demonic warfare upon the nations. Even though Satan has been bound, that what God in his plan will do is he will allow Satan and the demonic to wreak the unbelief of occultic movements throughout the world, as the onslaught of the demonic is described in the locusts that move from the abyss. And then finally, we are told that there will be the storm judgments of military as a vast army, and this description of this cataclysmic military event before Christ comes again. And that description, of course, is in the very place where we have just seen conflict in Iraq, as it's identified around the valleys of the rivers of the Euphrates and the Tigris in what we have studied. Now, the trumpets explain the seals. The seals explain what God is going to do before Jesus comes again from his ascension until his coming. And they're describing the birth pangs of Matthew 24 and 25 that Jesus says will occur before he comes. And then these seals are re-described with the seven trumpets declared with the seventh seal. And these seven trumpets unfold, six of them. And now it's a retelling of what was taking place in the seals, but this time from the perspective of the unbelieving world. And now we get to the seventh trumpet. And before the seventh angel with the seven trumpet sounds, again we stop. And before we hear that, we have a number of things that we're instructed. The first is found in Revelation 10. It is a strong angel appears with a small book. Would you look at that text with me, please? The strong angel with the small book. I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore with an oath by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, knead it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was bitter, it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, now you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now in this interlude, before the seventh trumpet, we are brought to face to face with this strong angel. Now, what I'd like to do is just kind of walk you through what we just read. By first of all, let's enumerate the strong angel, the way that the strong angel is described. First of all, there are 10 things about the strong angel that are given to you in the text that I just read. First of all, he comes down from heaven. The strong angel comes down from heaven. The second thing, now, by the way, it's right there that I disagree with many commentators who will say that the strong angel is Jesus. Another description of Jesus, because there are some things that match up in this description. Aren't there some things that match up with the vision back in chapter 1? Face shining, you see the glory, you see the feet burnished. So there's some things that seemingly match up, but not quite. But the biggest reason why I don't think it's the Jesus directly fulfilling this strong angel is because there are two other mentions of the strong angel in Revelation, and neither one of those speak of Jesus. And the other reason is because we would have to have another coming of Jesus with this, is that Jesus would have ascended and have to come and then come again after this. And so it seems to me that would not be it. But we'll get to that in just a minute. So the strong angel comes down from heaven. Second, he is clothed with a cloud. He is clothed with a cloud. Thirdly, he has a rainbow adorning his head. The rainbow adorns his head. Fourthly, he has a face like the sun that's shining. The face like a shining sun. Fifthly, he has feet like pillars of fire. Feet that are on fire, like rising pillars of fire. By the way, are you hearing anything here? Remember Moses, the people coming out, led by what? Pillar of fire, cloud. Pillars of cloud and fire. The Lord coming down in a cloud of glory. Just remember, all this Old Testament imagery is being amassed by the Apostle John in this vision. Number six, you have the holding of a little book in his hand of power. Then number seven, he straddles the earth. When it says he's got 1 foot upon the land and 1 foot upon the sea, he is straddling the earth. This strong angel straddles the entire earth. Number eight, when he speaks with a loud voice that sounds like a lion that's roaring. He speaks with a loud voice that sounds like a lion that's roaring. Number nine, we are told that he raises his right hand and takes an oath, swears an oath, a vow of fidelity to God, specifically declaring God as Almighty Creator, just the way you do when we do the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And you hear that same description coming from his hand, the one who created the heavens and all that are in it. He raises his hand and takes an oath of fidelity to the living God. And then number 10, this is a ministry that comes to a completion. This ministry is the last thing before everything comes to completion, before the last trumpet, before the mystery of God is finished up. Those are the 10 things that we are told about that angel. Now, what would those 10 things represent? Well, let's take another step. The ministry of the strong angel. What do we know about the ministry of the strong angel? Well, first of all, let's walk through the symbolism of those 10 identifying features. Now, what would they be telling us? Well, it doesn't take a lot of imagination at all when you use the Old Testament imagery and you use the way these figures are used. It stands pretty clear. So let me just walk you through those 10 very quickly as to what they represent. First of all, coming down from heaven means this strong angel comes with authority. Absolute, the authority of heaven and earth. Does that sound familiar? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. A second thing that we are told in the text is that he comes with the shrouds of the clouds, and that's always a reflection of the glory of God, the covering of God's glory. And of course, what would that be? The presence of the Holy Spirit, the cloud of glory that came into the Shekinah, the temple, the Shekinah glory of God. The third thing that we're told is that he is going to be used for a universal blessing throughout the entire earth. This ministry will go forward, land to sea, straddling the entire earth. The fourth thing that we are told is that when he ministers, it's like the giving of the light of the sun. There's that proclamation of truth that goes forward, and it's like the shining of the sun that takes place, illuminating all that's around it. Another thing that we're told in the symbolism is that this one will be under adversity. The pillars of fire in his feet represent the adversity that would be brought against him, even the fiery trials that would be brought against this strong angel as he plants his ministry in the earth. And then you've got the not only is he under adversity, but he is also taking the gospel. And it's a gospel-focused ministry. Now, here I've made a jump for you. I'll be back to it in just a minute. But let me go ahead and make the jump with me. The little book is the gospel. Upon every page is the truth of the saving work of Christ. It's the little book. There are some other books yet to be opened. And those books that are opened are the books of judgment and the books of life and the book of life. This is the little book that is the key to life that must be declared before that seventh trumpet, or no one can stand in that day. It's the message of the gospel that's to be taken, absorbed by its servants and the ones who will take it forward. And then also, there's not only a gospel-focused message, but it's also to be done worldwide. It is to move throughout the whole world. This massive, gigantic angel that's straddling the whole world is to take this gospel wherever he goes. And then it's also a bold ministry. It's a loud voice and a roaring lion that goes forward. This ministry of this gospel is to be loud and in the sense of a boldness that goes forward, like the boldness of a lion that knows the prey is there and that he can take hold of it. And then finally, this is to be a faithful ministry. A faithful ministry. The oath of fidelity. This angel, no matter what adversity comes, will fulfill the task. And the oath of fidelity and faithfulness to the Lord God is taken with the upraised hand. And then finally, we are told this is what is final before the seventh trumpet. This finishes the mystery. The untold story of God is finally told when this strong angel finishes his work. Now we're ready for the last trumpet after his ministry. Now that's the strong angel, the symbolism of his ministry. The second thing I want to mention to you about the ministry of the strong angel is that we are told something that's there, that in the midst of all of this, when this strong angel comes, there are seven peals of thunder that take place. Seven peals of thunder. Now what are they? Who knows? Can somebody tell me? Oh, come on. Somebody's got it. Haven't you got a book on it yet? Well, John was ready to include it. The seven peals of thunder revealed something, and John was ready to what? Write it. And God says what? Don't write it. There is something in the strong angel's ministry of the gospel that's worldwide that will not be revealed, but only revealed by experience. The seven peals of thunder. You know, we have a lot of fun in a way looking at the book of Revelation. Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven yet bowls of wrath to go through. And here's another seven peals of thunder. Try as you might to know what they are, you don't have the slightest idea. He just let him know there is an untold story yet to be revealed as this gospel goes throughout the world under the ministry of the strong angel. A third thing that we are told is that this ministry concludes the mystery of God. This brings everything to finish. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, that's the seventh angel with the seventh trumpet, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants the prophets. What did the Lord say in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament? As this gospel shall go to all of the earth, then shall come the end. Then shall come the last trumpet. Then shall come the seventh angel, when the strong angel has finished his ministry. Now, let's take one more step in our study of this chapter. We have seen the symbolism. We have seen the untold story that is only to be revealed by experience in the fulfillment of this angel's ministry. We have seen the mystery. This ministry concludes the mystery of God before the coming of Christ and delivering up of all the kingdoms to the kingdom of God. And the other thing that we have learned is this is foundational to the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet will not sound until this is done, until this has come to a conclusion. Now, that's the strong angel described, the ministry of the strong angel in the text. Now let's go to another section. Another section is the task of John. John is given a task. In the middle of all of this, John is told to go up to the angel, take the little book, and he is to eat it. And he is told that he is told what is going to happen. That once he eats this, you've had that experience, haven't you? I have it sometimes on Sunday nights. I can't eat before I preach, and so I eat after I preach, and I can't eat late anymore as I've gotten older. But I still love to finish Sunday with a pizza. And so there is my pizza. And I still like pepperoni and mushrooms. And it is so good while I'm eating it. But I know what's going to happen at 11 o'clock that night. So I put the Rolaids right beside my... Are you there yet? You'll be there one day. And let me tell you, the Rolaids are sitting right there because I know what's going to happen to my upset stomach late. But it sure is good going down. That's the thing. It's sweet in the mouth, he says, this book. But it's going to make the stomach nauseous. It's going to be bitter in the stomach. Does that sound familiar to you? Remember another prophet that was told that? Who was it? Starts with an E. Don't say Elijah. Ezekiel. Go to chapter 3 with me of the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 3 in the book of Ezekiel. Starts actually in chapter 2, but we'll just read in chapter 3. Ezekiel is called to do the ministry of the Lord. The scroll is given. Let's just go ahead and back up so we can get the whole thing. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving to you. Ezekiel 2:9. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll, and he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am about to give to you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And so he ate this scroll, and it was sweet as honey. And yet there was a bitterness of its message of woe and judgment that came out. And so we have this with John also. John is commanded to eat the book. But when he eats the book and takes the scroll and eat it, he is then instructed, just like Ezekiel was said to go to the house of Israel. Now John is said to go and prophesy to all the world, to all the nations, to take it as a result, declare the result of eating this scroll, bitter and sweet. And then you, this bitter, sweet experience, this sweet in the mouth and bitter in the stomach, you must prophesy and preach this message to the whole world. Not just to the house of Israel now, but to the whole world as was promised to the prophets. Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed with this message of the covenant of grace. And that was the task of John. All right, let's take a few moments to kind of finish up if we can. Where does that bring us to? Let me give you four takeaways from this message that's here in chapter 10. First of all is this. First takeaway is the strong angel. Who is it? I don't think it's Jesus. I think the strong angel bears a resemblance of Jesus, but is not Jesus. I believe that the strong angel is in fact the representation of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, that is to empowered and embattled until Jesus comes again. Empowered and embattled to fulfill the Great Commission. That all authority has been given from heaven to us in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been clothed with the Holy Spirit and the power of His glory. We have been given a great commission that is to go throughout all the earth, to go from land and sea throughout the entire world. And Jesus, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse? That this gospel must go to the whole world, and then is the end. The seventh angel does not sound the trumpet until the work of the strong angel and the ministry through the church is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. But as we are empowered, the pillars of fire on the feet, we will be embattled. There will be opposition. Many martyrs, many will lose their life in such the endeavor. That's the strong angel. It is the church of Jesus Christ, given its orders from heaven, empowered from heaven, clothed with glory, the redeeming work of Jesus Christ with a great commission that's been given to us. But yet, as we do that which we are empowered to do, we will be embattled until it is finished. Secondly, second takeaway, the seven peals of thunder. All that awaits the church, militant, until it becomes the church triumphant, is not known until it's experienced. And it will seem to us that the church is regressing, the church is losing in some places. We will be overwhelmed by messages of discouragement, and then we will be uplifted as we were tonight by messages of encouragement. All the seven peals of thunder that revealed the mysteries of God of what is going to happen as this strong angel does his ministry. God says, shut it up. Don't tell him. Now, Jesus, of course, shows us this. He calls us, empowers us, tells us we're going to be in battle, but he doesn't tell us the whole story. And he says the reason why is if you knew it, you wouldn't go. Do you remember him dealing with somebody like that? His name was what? Peter. As Peter is told to go out, and Peter then asks about John, and what are you going to do with John? He wants to know all of that, and the Lord says, listen, I'll tell you what you'll do, and I'll take care of John, but Peter, I got something for you to do that if you knew what it was, you wouldn't go. But listen, as your days are, so shall your strength be. The empowered presence of the Lord will enable the church, no matter what it faces, contained in that seven peals of thunder, in the embattlement of the church militant will be the church triumphant. We will, by His grace, for His glory, get the task done. It yet remains untold what we will face, but the task will be accomplished. Third takeaway. The experience of John is a constant reminder. John, I believe, represents those called in the official preaching of the gospel, like Ezekiel in the Old Testament, John in the New Testament. It is a reminder of all of us as ambassadors of Christ and those called to the pulpit ministry of proclaiming the gospel in the special ordained sense that it will always be a bittersweet experience. Oh, how sweet when we see people taste the gospel and come to Christ. Oh, how bitter the reactions of unbelief and the reactions of others. Charles Spurgeon put it this way to those who are called to the ministry of the gospel. He said, let me tell you, if you can do anything else in the world, go do it. That was the way he worked through calling. If there's anything else you can do, please go do it.
Oh, don't go into the ministry unless there's nothing else you can do and exist in knowing God. Why? He said, because the ministry of the gospel is always bane and blessing. There is the blessing of the success of the gospel, the bane of the problems that the gospel brings. And so it will be also with all of us who have been called to take the gospel. Oh, the sweetness when that person comes to Christ. Oh, the bitterness when people don't. Oh, the bitterness of rejection and ridicule when you take the gospel. It is that message that is sweet when we received it and when we give it and when we see it received. But oh, there is opposition and bitterness and rejection and bitterness that comes from that. Finally, the last thing is this. This little book, this gospel of grace, this sweetness and bitterness that's there. This message is absolutely essential and alone can prepare people for that last angel, that last trumpet, and the day of judgment, and the coming of the kingdom of God in its fullness. Only that message. That's why that is our focus until Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds. It is that that brings the mystery, is that ministry of the gospel that brings the mystery of God's plan to fulfillment. I don't think I'm the first one in 2,000 years. I think we have all sensed and felt that this must be it. Jesus must be coming soon. Well, so I feel that. I don't know when he's coming. No, not the hour of the day. And we've always felt that because the birth pangs described by the seven seals and the seven trumpets and described in the message of Jesus have been with us. They've only intensified as Jesus has tarried in his coming. So we have always sensed that he's coming. I believe he is coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Two things, and then I'll pray. You ready? There's only one thing that's going to get you ready, and that's this gospel. You will not stand in that day without this gospel. It's the little book's message that puts you in the book of life. And friend, it's that message that everyone around us needs to hear. That ought to consume us. And it will be a bittersweet experience fulfilling our task. And it will be under adversity. But the Lord has promised the triumph. For this is a strong angel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we could be together tonight in the study of your word. We even think now of how our children are eating this book in memory. And how to proclaim it, missions-minded kids. Lord, may we not fall behind our children. May we take this word, gospel message to our heart. May it transform our lives, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we do things. And may we go forward with this message, clothed from heaven with glory and authority and power, knowing it'll be bittersweet, the experience. But knowing it's the message not only whereby we will stand, but the only message whereby anyone can stand. The message of Jesus, triumphant over sin, over death, over hell, and over the grave. Oh, Lord, take it through us. Make us strong in Jesus and for Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. Let's